Knesset, some of the matters of the Vahi Lohem Lemikdosh Me'at, that every Beis HaKnesses Bizman HaZeh is a Me'ein of the Mishkan, the Osuli Mishkan, V'Shachanti B'Soicham. Mishkan is, I told you yesterday, is Yofe, the Chinuch, he enumerates every mitzvah by number. He goes from the beginning of the Torah to the end of the Torah. He has the meaning of the Tariyag mitzvahs. Mitzvah 95 is which mitzvah? He has numbers, every mitzvah. Mitzvah 95 is the mitzvah of the Osu Li Mikdosh V'Shachanti B'Soicham. Make for me a Mikdosh, I will dwell in their midst. That's mitzvah number 95. 95 is the gematria yofe, and that's why you wish a chasen and kala that the zivik should be oile yofe, because you want a chasen kala. Every chasen kala you wish them should build a bias neman b'yishol. Every chasen kala, their bias is a mikdash me'at. That's why you say it should be yofe. So, you should have a binyan yofe. It's 95. 95 is Yofa. 95 is also the combination. Says the combination of Yudke Vavke and Adnos. Is that correct? That's 91. And there's another 95. I'll put that aside. All right, but let's discuss over here in Indian. Talking about in Indian, there are two matters of light in the Beis HaKnesses. There are two different simanim and Shulchan Aruch, two different inyanim of requirements in the Beis HaKnesses. Number one, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Gemara. A Beis HaKnesses should have windows. So that's a Zohar. The Zohar says not only should it have windows, it should have 12 windows. And there is another halacha that a Beis HaKnesses, you should light Neirois in a Beis HaKnesses. Now, what do both have in common? Neirois and windows, they both allow light into illumination into the Beis HaKnesses. There's natural light. There is natural light. Sunlight that comes into the windows, and then there is artificial light. It can't say artificial, but you light Neirois, you're producing Neirois. Are these two related? So nowhere did I come across that they are related. I want to try to show you that they really are related. Okay, we'll come to say, but let's discuss these two in Yana. Where does all of this come from? So here we go. First of all, it says in the Gemara Masechet Brachos, okay, Gemara Masechet Brachos, Daf Lamed Daled, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Al Yispal Adam Ella Bebayis, Sheyei Sham Chaloinois. Okay, the Gemara says in a bias, that is a giveaway. It's a very important word because I'll tell you right away, the Rambam in a letter, it's not in the Yara Chazaka, the Rambam is not in Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam in a letter in the Teshuvah writes that the only time there is a requirement that there should be windows when you daven is only when you daven in a home, in a private home. But when you daven in a Beis HaKnesses, a communal location, like this room over here, there's no need to have windows. Okay, so it doesn't hurt to have windows. No, it doesn't hurt. There is no requirement to have windows. That's an incredible chiddush. All of the commentators came out, they're utterly shocked that the Rambam wrote this, and they probably even said it's not even real. The Rambam never even said this. It's only in a letter. And who says the letter is authentic? That's a chiddush to say it's not. But it's interesting that it does say in the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Al Yisfalil Adam Ella Babayis. The Gemara is not afraid to use the word in the Beis HaKnesses, the whole many halachas of the Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara never says anywhere that the Beis HaKnesses needs to have windows. It only says a bias needs windows, and the Makar comes from Daniel Ish Chamudos. Because we know that when Daniel was serving in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, everyone knows this famous pasuk, if I could pronounce it correctly, that he v'chivein Pesichin lay be'elita neged Yerushalayim. That Daniel, he directed windows in the attic towards Yerushalayim, and he davened to Hashem. And the people there in the palace were very disturbed because the only one that you're allowed to daven to in Babylon was Nebuchadnezzar. He made himself into a deity. So what is Daniel davening to Hashem? And not only did he daven to Hashem, Daniel, he opened up windows in his chamber. Now, Daniel did not have a Beis HaKnesses. Daniel was a loner. He was a lone soldier. He was there all alone, basically a hostage, working for Nebuchadnezzar, extremely talented. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were also there. And he opened up, he ran the whole show, and he opened up windows. So this is the Makar. This is the Makar that there should be windows. Now we of course we don't look at this. There are two things, the two telltale signs. Number one is Daniel was an individual. He did not have a Beis HaKnesses. Number two, when the Gemara extrapolates from this passage, the Zalacha, the Gemara talks about a private bias. Yet everyone, the Yotzim in HaKlal, does not differentiate between a private bias and an individual, and they apply this to a Beis HaKnesses. And the Beis HaKnesses, where does it brought down? We all pass on Lech HaLamayis that in the Beis HaKnesses should have windows, and according to the Zohar, it should have even 12 windows. Now, the question is why? What is the reason why Daniel actually carved out windows in his bias in order to daven? So there's a whole long different reasons. One of the most simple, some of the reasons is light. The just should be illumination. Because when there is no illumination, it affects a person's mind and he gets depressed. It's dark. When you're davening in a dark place, it affects your mind. You don't have happiness. And in order to succeed in davening to Hashem, a person needs to be in a good frame of mind. So it's nothing more than a practical consideration to have illumination in order to lift up a person's spirit so he should be able to daven with joy and optimism to Hashem. That's one reason. Another reason given is what the Pasuk really says is the window should be towards Yerushalayim. It's basically a simon where to daven. We all know that it's Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Simen, the Tzadis, in Aruch Hayim, Hilchos Tefillah, I don't remember which one, Tzadi Dalet, Tzadi Hei, Tzadi Vav, where it says that which direction do we face when we daven? We face Yerushalayim. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, where do you face? You face the Beis HaMikdash. And if you're on this side of the Beis HaMikdash, you face this way. On that side, you face that side. When you go to the Kosel HaMaravi, which way are you facing?
West.
No, you're facing east. You're facing, mamash facing east, Mizrach. Because you're at the west wall, and when you're at the west wall, when you're facing the west wall, you're facing east. You're facing that because you're by the west wall. If you were to be davening on the east side of Yerushalayim, you would daven west. And if you're facing...
Har Zeisim, you face the other way.
Right, exactly. Har Zeisim, you face west. I don't know all the hotels in the Waldorf. Which way do you daven? You're supposed to face towards, there's no east, west, north, south. You're supposed to face towards the Beis HaMikdash, wherever you are. It happens to be that we live in America, or if you live in Europe, so it happens to be that we are to the west of Eretz Yisrael, and we're a little bit to the southwest. It's a little bit higher up to the southwest. So we face east, because we're west, so we face east. You want to face a little bit north, that's also good, because on the map, Yerushalayim is slightly north. Even though you'll say that if you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, you go on a plane, due to the curvature of the earth, you go up north. So why don't we dive in north? In order to get to Eretz Yisrael, you have to go north. You have to go north. When you go on an airplane...
That's the distance.
What?
That's the distance. The reason you go north.
Does it go? It's an interesting question. I'll explain to you. It says in the pasuk, very famous pasuk, mitzofoin. It's the first we possibly read this pasuk and Shabbos. Chazoin, it's one of the Gimel de Paranusa. I don't remember if it's in Yirmiyah or in Yeshaya. The three during the Bein HaMitzodim. I don't remember which Avtaira. It says mitzofoin tiposach hora'a. From the north will begin the evil. According to everyone, that means that Nebuchadnezzar is on the way.
Right.
Bavel, they're coming to get you. Watch out. Excuse me. Bavel is not to the north of Eretz Yisrael. No way. Bavel is to the southeast of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I'm sorry. Made a mistake. I'm sorry. The northeast. And it's a lot more east than it is north. A lot more east than it is north. So why does the Navi say, this prophecy, mitzofoin tiposach hora'a, from the north will begin the evil. And who is the tzofoin?
That's the way they
know. Oh! Okay, so there are different answers to this question. This is a tough question. This is not a simple question. A lot of the commentators deal with this question. Mitzofoin tiposach hora'a. So some will answer you. It means that the north, that Tzofoin refers to the Yetzirah. They'll give you esoteric answers. A lot of esoteric answers describing the Nebuchadnezzar, Bavel, the enemy, the Tzofoin, one of the names of the Yetzirah is the Tzofoini. A lot of different esoteric, complex, esoteric answers why Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, is called the Tzofoin.
You can't go directly.
So Rabbi Dr. Colonel Cohn, Rabbi Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohn, Shlita, is giving another answer, is that look at the map. In ancient times, there is no road that takes you from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel eastward. It's desert. It's impossible to travel there. You can't survive. It's desert land. In no way you can survive. The only way to go is a circuitous route. You have to go up north, then catch a train that will take you east, and then get another train and go down south. You have to go up north. The way you go in ancient times, the way the Babylonians invaded Yerushalayim, is they, in Bavel, they went up north, and then they traveled west. And then when they were up north, they then came down south. So the people living in Yerushalayim, when they saw the enemy coming, they saw them coming from the north. Mitzofoin tiposach hora'ah. Where is Bavel? Bavel is in the east. It's in the east. But the reason why the pasuk says mitzofoin tiposach hora'ah, it's giving you a practical description of what's going to happen. The road that goes up north, that was the main highway. If you wanted to go to Bavel, you go north and then you turn to the east, because you can't go directly east because it's a desert in that territory and it's impossible to travel over there. So the question is, just like when it says mitzofoin tiposach hora'ah, listen, the Navi says it. This is not some medrash. The Navi says it. It's a pasuk. So when we today live in, when we daven today in America, v'lushalayim iruchah berachamim tashuv. Question: how do we daven? So we're very sophisticated. We have a satellite map. We know the world is round. Well, that's a conspiracy theory to say the world is round. And we look at the map, and we look at Yerushalayim is in the east. So we have a big map, a satellite image, and we're very sophisticated, and we know if you would want to go to Yerushalayim east, excuse me, you cannot get a flight out of this country that will take you over the Atlantic that will go east. Every single commercial flight, b'liyotzei min haklal, will travel north. Why? Due to the curvature of the earth, to save fuel, because we're going net zero, as you all know.
Safety.
And for all many different reasons, also safety, because that way, in case the plane has to make an emergency landing, there are many more opportunities. That's another reason, besides the fact that you save fuel, time, you save fuel and time and traffic controls, the radar is still primitive radar, that you, over the landing, over a large body of water, it's very hard to have good radar, and you need landmass where you can have good radar to track you, v'chulu, v'chulu. There's a whole host of reasons, a whole collection of reasons. Go on YouTube, you'll go with some of these videos to explain to you the route of all of the commercial airliners. They all believe Yoitzim and Aklan, you go over the Atlantic, you go north. So my question is, when we daven today, Chazal said that when you daven Chutz L'Yoyz, you should daven towards Yerushalayim. So what is called towards? So, you know, in ancient times, they didn't live so far away. They all lived in Europe. They didn't live all that far. France, Germany, okay, you have the Mediterranean. It was pretty much, you go east. So if you live to the west of Yerushalayim, so you go along the Mediterranean, you get in a boat, and when you go in a boat, you get a boat that goes east. There's nowhere else to go in the Mediterranean, but you go east, you travel east. But today, that's not the way we travel. Today, 99.9% of people who travel from America to Eretz Yisrael are going there by plane. No one's going by boat. And when they go by plane, the only way to go, more or less, is to go north. So maybe today that when we daven Shmona Esrei, we should daven north.
I don't want to change what
we're
doing.
What? Of course not. What I'm saying is, if Chazal wrote this halacha today, let's say Chazal, when they wrote the Shulchan Aruch and they composed this on the Gemara, so the Gemara, this halacha is the whole Gemara, brachas. If you're davening in Eretz Yisrael, you daven towards the Beis Hamikdash. If in the Beis Hamikdash, you daven towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it says you should mechaven k'neged the kapores. Okay, the Kohen Gadol and Kippurim, you have to face where the Shechina is. And if you're chutz li'aretz, so you face towards Yerushalayim. Memela, that's why we daven east. But what would be if Chazal would have composed this halacha in America, where the mode of transportation is airplanes, and airplanes, 99% of them, maybe I'm making a mistake, but my limited things knowledge is when you take off, you go north for many reasons, as we explained. So what would be so terrible if our batei kinosios, batei midrashos, were on the north wall? Because you're supposed to daven towards Yerushalayim. And don't tell me, oh, look at the map. Well, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Mitzofoin tiposach horo'ah. When the pasuk talks about the practical reality of our enemies coming to attack us, it doesn't define their location on the map with a satellite image. It talks in practical terms.
But that's talking about physical attacking.
You
and this is talking about spiritual, right. Mental direction where you should be facing.
You're making a chilek that I don't think is machalek. I hear what you're saying. Okay, we're just playing around. Obviously, nothing is going to change, and nothing should change. But I'm just throwing out to you an idea. Look, mitzafon tiposach haro'ah. Today we live in Chutz Li'aretz. Today no one would make a shul that goes faces north. That's out of the question. Today a shul will only be east or south, because east or Doraim, south, because Yerushalayim is a little bit more south than it is south. It's to the southeast. It's closer to the equator. That's why they have better weather there. It's closer to the equator. So therefore, today, you can make a shul, since Yerushalayim is not due east, it's east, it's southeast, more east than it is south, obviously. That's why today it is acceptable to daven to the south. And that's why there are many shuls in this community who have their Aron HaKodesh on the southern wall, not on the eastern wall. What would be so terrible putting the Aron on the northern wall? Because that's practical. If you want to go to Eretz Yisrael today, you go north. You don't go west. You don't go east. You don't go south.
There's an end off that you're going to go south.
But that's the first direction you go. You go up north, and as you go, you're, so just like it says in the pasuk, "Mitzafoin tiposach ha'ra'ah," even though it be on the shadow of a doubt, Bavel is in the east. So what does it say in the pasuk? Because that's the way you go. That's the way you go. So why would it be so terrible to daven north? Because that's the way you go to Yerushalayim. Let's be practical. Obviously, this is not, the suggestion is beyond the pale. No one's going to chas v'shalom take. But just,
why a flight direct to Miami from Tel Aviv is almost 14 hours?
Because they also go north.
They don't, but they have to come all the way back down.
They also go north. And they're also afraid. There's another reason why they don't want to go, is because they're afraid of the Bermuda Triangle. They don't want to. They don't want to disappear. If they're going to go from Miami straight to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be passing over a region.
Israel is on the same latitude as Miami, approximately.
Oh, so they can go. They can go straight. They don't want to go. They're passing over an area that planes just disappear, and no one knows why. That if they would go from Miami straight, first of all, the weather patterns are very dangerous. There are a lot of hurricanes half time of the year. There are a lot of problems going straight from Miami. They're all different issues. So they go all the way around. What an avoid. They go all the way around. They go, but that's the natural progression. So I'm just throwing this out. It's an interesting thing. Okay, in any event, so Daniel, he opened up windows towards, it says in the pasuk, he didn't just open up windows. He opened up windows towards Yerushalayim, which means Yerushalayim, which is an indication that all the windows should be on the side of the shul where that faces Yerushalayim. And that's the direction. So in other words, the windows is all basically a reminder. Your prayers should be directed towards the Mokim HaShechina that is in Yerushalayim. It's a very powerful lesson. And the lesson is, we unfortunately get very comfortable in Golos. We believe, you know, through the ages, there's always been, you know, people, they call their community the little Yerushalayim. Okay, there have been unfortunately some communities that got too comfortable, and they like to call themselves, we are the Ir HaKodesh. That is a horrible thing. There's only one Ir HaKodesh, and built into every Mikdash Ma'at is a polite reminder, you don't belong here. There are windows. You know why there are windows? You don't belong here. Your prayers have to travel through those windows all the way to where they belong. So what are you doing here? Pick yourself up, pick up this makam, and go to where you should be to begin with. It's a reminder. It is an insult, almost, to every shul. Every shul, you have to break open windows as a way of reminding the congregants that you don't belong here. That is what comes out according to this mahalach. So far we've given two mahalach. Number one is illumination. Nothing more than illumination. Number two, it is a polite reminder, you don't belong here. Your prayers have to travel towards Yerushalayim. A third in Mahalech is, it's not an insult to the people in the shul that they don't belong here, but rather it's a psychological technique in order for people to see the Shemayim. You see that when you're davening, you're davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, basically, these are three different reasons. Illumination, reminder to go to Yerushalayim. Number three, it's somewhere in between. It enhances your emunah that when you're davening to Hashem. Lamai nafkamina, America, lights. We have today electricity, Baruch Hashem. The lights are on, and there is illumination. Do you need windows? Why? Because today we have other remote. First of all, we have, if it's because of illumination, we have electricity. We have illumination. It's wonderful. It's even better. It's always constant. It's good. What about the reason you should be reminded that your tefillos are going to go to Yerushalayim? We have a new technique today. which they didn't have in time of the Gemara, and that is the Aron HaKodesh is what basically serves what it says in the Pasuk Lirushleim, the Pasuk that says Baniel V'chivein Pesichin Lei Be'alita Neged Yerushleim. In time of Chazal, there was no such thing as, okay, as the Aron was in the center, and you daven where the Aron was. When they daven, in time of Chazal, they had a room. There was no Aron. The Aron was a teva, was a box. And it doesn't appear that in time of Chazal, it was set up that you daven towards the furniture, the way we have it arranged today. Today you walk into a shul, wherever the Aron is, oh, that's where you daven. They did not have an Aron in time of Chazal. They had a box. And the box they put away in another room. And in the box was the Sefer Torah. And when it came time to lane, they brought the teva. They carried the teva. The teva was a built-in bima. They took the Sefer Torah out of the box, and they put the Torah on top of the box, and they laned. The teva was the bima. Look at this bima here. Make believe inside the doors is the Sefer Torah. That's what they did in time of Chazal. You had this, the bima was the teva. There was no Aron HaKodesh. You have a bima, and the bima probably wasn't on an angle, it was probably flat. And there are doors. Open up the doors. Inside the doors is a Sefer Torah. And the bima was much, much smaller, and it was not even necessarily in the room. And when it came time to lain, someone would carry in the teva. And they would put the teva down on the floor. They would open up the doors, take out, oh, a Sefer Torah. And they put the Sefer Torah on top, and they would lain. And when you finish, you put the roll up Sefer Torah, put the Sefer Torah back in the box, and take the teva, lock it up somewhere. During a tiny sibur, they took the whole teva out into the street. They didn't have what we have today, an aron, like we have today, this elaborate aron with a paroiches and a gansamais, so they didn't have that. So, okay, we come into the room. It's an empty room. Oh, where do we daven? Which direction should we daven? Should we daven towards the clock? Should we daven towards the bookcase over here? Should we daven towards the sprinkler system over there? Where should we daven? I don't know. Does anyone have a compass? Oh, look, there are windows. There are windows. There are 12 windows on this side of the room. Oh, those are the 12 windows that were made. L'zecher Daniel v'chiven pesichin le'be'alita neged Yerushalayim. Today, you don't need the windows to tell you which way is Yerushalayim. Because today, the Aron HaKodesh automatically tells you which way to Yerushalayim. So we don't need the windows today to tell you where Yerushalayim is. We don't need the windows for illumination because we have better. We have LED lighting. So what then will we need the windows for only one thing? A person to get a sense that he's davening to Shamayim. And that's very important. That's something you can't ignore. That you'll never get away with. You can get away. People today were not makbid on. A lot of shuls are not makbid with the windows. It's a second thought, the windows. If there are no windows, there are no windows. There are windows, a lot of windows, a few windows, stained glass windows. The windows today are not much of a consideration for most shuls today, because two of the three reasons don't really apply. Illumination we have. To know which way is towards Yerushalayim, well, the Aron HaKodesh has made that decision for us. So what's left? To get a sense that when you're davening, your tefillos are going to Shemayim. So some will say, you know, if it's light in the room and the shul is decorated nicely, you know, you get the feeling that you're davening to Hashem. We don't even necessarily need the windows for that either. Because if you have the right furniture and the right ambiance, that alone creates a certain sensation, feeling you're davening towards Hashem. On the other hand, you know, listen, it says it in the Gemara. It says that also. Let's say also when you want to add to the when you want to add to the equation what the Rambam says, that when it says in the Gemara you need windows for all of these things, that's only when you're davening in a private home. But if you're davening in a Beis HaKnesses, you don't need windows. And the svar is obvious, is that when does a person need the chizuk of not being depressed in a dark room? When does he need to be reminded which way to daven? That's only when you're davening privately. But when you're coming to a Beis HaKnesses, you're coming to a tzibur, you don't have that problem. Just the fact that you're all together, chaverim, are united in a purpose of davening to Hashem, that already solves all the issues. The whole reason is when you're together with many people. So again, this is the reason why we're very, very lenient. The Rambam says halacha only applies in the private bais. What are the reasons? Illumination, mizrach, to get that feeling that you're davening, that your tefillah is going to Hashem. If you're davening in a shul, you're getting that feeling automatically. There is illumination. And the Aron HaKodesh is telling you where the mizrach is. So you don't need the windows. The windows, the windows are not on a level that are extremely important as it would appear when you understand the logic behind. But on the other hand, halacha is halacha. You know, you don't play around with halacha just because there's a famous thing, the Chazal says, just because Chazal tell you reasons for something, that's not the only reason. There are more reasons. The Chazal did not tell you every single reason. Therefore, don't think that if you know all the reasons and you come to the conclusion that the reasons don't apply to you, you can do away with it. Nonsense. Halacha is halacha. The bottom line is you're supposed to have windows. And therefore, certainly, there's a mile in having windows. Now, how many windows? So there's a Zohar that says that there are 12 gates in heaven. There are 12 gates in heaven, and every one of the Shvatim has a unique technique, a unique nusach. It's not just a nusach, it's a different approach to davening. You learn Hilchus, you learn through the Hashkaf of davening. It's fascinating. There are many different approaches in Hashkafa in davening. You know, some people, when they daven, they mamish, they're talking to Hashem. The namish, that's the approach you have to psyche, you're talking. Some people, when they daven, the whole approach is you talk to yourself. You talk to yourself. You're not even talking to Hashem. You're talking to yourself. And the Mela, the more you talk to yourself, automatically the more your emuna is refined and you're connected to Hashem automatically. And then there are another 100 mahalachim in davening. All of the different approaches, it's not just a matter of every shevet has their own unique nusach. Every shevet has a different hashkafa in what davening is. How does man talk to Hashem? How does all this work? It's very complicated. There are different mahalchim. And today we're mabulbul. Today we live in a world where aseres hashvatim are... No one today can identify which shevet they come from. Even though we know that the Aseres HaShvatim have been gone into exile and are gone, but Chazal said there's no question, not the entire Aseres HaShvatim. There are remnants of all of the Aseres HaShvatim intermingled in Yehuda and Binyamin, and no one knows where they come from. No one knows. Maybe one day they'll have some DNA test where they can determine exactly which shevet you're from. Who knows what's coming down.
Know their origins.
The Levium?
Kohanim
and Levium. The gene, the Kohen gene. That's very problematic because there are all different issues with that. But who knows? Right now, there's still too many problems with identifying Yichus through DNA. But maybe the day will one day come when these things will be more advanced.
Kohen gene doesn't prove.
I know, it doesn't improve anymore. There are a lot of issues. But maybe one day there will be further advancement in these things where these issues will be overcome and they'll be able to map out Yichus. But in any event, there is a Mesorah, then Klal Yisrael, all 12 Shvatim are alive and present. We just do not know where we come from. Mothers, fathers, all the generations going back to Har Sinai. There are 125 generations going back. Every person, try to trace your father, 125, and you'll reach Har Sinai. Okay, so we don't know the Yichus, but the Zohar says the reason why you have 12 is because to show no matter where you're from, no matter which yichus you come from, your and whatever your hashkof and davening is, whatever your nusuch is, there is a shvil, there is a path that is ready for you, for your tefillos to ascend to HaKadosh Baruch. Now, in addition to the windows, there's another form of illumination, and that is to light candles. There are two types of candles that we light in the Beis HaKnesses. Really, there are three, more than two. There is one, the Ner Tamid. Every shul has a custom to have a Ner. Why is there a Ner Tamid in the Beis HaKnesses? So the Chazal say, the Ner Tamid corresponds to the Ner Ma'aravi. This week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha, we have the Menorah, Te'osa Es HaMenorah, and the Neres are lit, and Bizman Sha Yishol Oysim Ritzon Shol Makoim. There was one Ner that always miraculously remained lit no matter what. Even though in other words, the Chanukah miracle happened in the Beis HaMikdash every single day. Okay, Chanukah wasn't 8 days a year. Every single day there was a Chanukah miracle. They put enough oil for it to last for 12 hours, and it lasted for 24 hours. And they would use the Ner Ma'aravi to rekindle the Neris for the next day. It was like a miracle. They would use it as the shamish to light the Neris the next, so you had a mamish. The fire was mamish Ner Tamid. As long as the Ner Tamid was lit, the Ner Tamid was the source of illumination for the other six Neris. So it's incredible. The Neris was a Ner Shol Nes. Chazal said, what was the significance of the Ner Ma'aravi? Why was it called the Ner Ma'aravi? So that's the whole discussion. It all depends on how you position the menorah. If the menorah was positioned from east to west, it was the Ma'aravi, means it was the second to last. If the menorah was positioned from north to south, it was the center Ner, because the Ner was tilted slightly closer towards the west. So whichever Ner it was, whether it was the center, whether it was the second to last, it was the Ner Ma'aravi, and miraculously it was lit 24/7. And Chazal say, what was the significance of being lit 24/7? It was, the words are, Eidus hi shehashchina shoyre b'Yisrael. They would actually show this to the people who came to the Beis HaMikdash. Look, they would open up the Poroiches, and people can see from far the Ner Ma'aravi was still miraculously going. It is a testimony, Eidus, that the Shechina is resting amongst the Jewish people. When you come into a shul and you see there's a Ner Tamid right here that's lit, this is Eidus, testimony that the Shechina is resting in Klal Yisrael. The Ner is Hashem's divine presence. That's what it represents. It doesn't represent that we have done anything. In the Beis HaMikdash, what was the Ner Ma'aravi? They only put enough oil for it to go last for 12 hours, and it went for 24 hours. It was a miracle. The miracle was because that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was resting upon that Ner, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Ma'ilam and Azman, and that Ner Ma'aravi was a symbol, it was the Shechina. So when we build a shul today, the most important thing is that people walk into shul, hey, you're in a holy place here. This place, the Shechina is resting. And that Ner Ma'aravi, the Ner Tamid, even though it's electricity, but yet it is symbolic to remind us, Eidus Shehashechina is Shoyre B'Yishol. The Shechina is resting in this room. And the reminder that it's resting in this room is that Ner Tamid, which is Bimkoim, the Ner Ma'aravi. So this Ner is not really meant to be to give illumination. It's the Shechina. Now, question. We know that when we light the Chanukah candles, Ha'aneirois halalu kodeshem. Ha'aydei kohenech ha'kodeshem v'chol shmiz v'nei Chanukah ha'aneirois halalu kodeshem v'ein lanu rishus l'shtamesh bohem ela l'roisam bilvad. So Chanukah, which is patterned after the neirois of the menorah, you're not allowed to use. You're not allowed to do any. You're not allowed to read the siddur. You're not allowed to use to make the brachas. Now nothing. If you light your menorah, there's no light in the house, and you light, and there's no shamish, and the father lights his neiros, and now one of his children wants to light the Chanukah menorah, and there's no light other than the menorah, is he allowed to use the nearest of the menorah to make the brachas? No. Ein lanu rishus lishtameish b'hem, for nothing. Nothing. Not even for a dvar mitzvah. Not allowed to use it for anything. So what about in the Beis HaMikdash? In the Beis HaMikdash, if the Kohen wanted to go in, for whatever reason, into the Heichal, I mean, when did they go in? When did they go? We'll discuss it in a second. The truth is, there were windows. But let's talk about the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's say Hashem says, Moshe, I got to talk to you. Meeting, emergency meeting. I gotta have talk to you. Come to the Mishkan, and the nearest is at night. And Moshe, it's dark. Does Moshe need to come in with a flashlight, or is Moshe allowed to enter into the Ohel Moed, into the Heichal, with the benefit of the Neiros of the Menorah? Nowhere does it say that the Neiros of the Menorah are asur l'hishtamesh b'hem. And in fact, many poskim say just the opposite. The purpose of the menorah was in order to indeed provide illumination. It was there to provide illumination.
Was it there fire from the
mizbeach? But that's in the chotzer. This is in the heichal. In the heichal, it was covered with three layers. It was covered with the lower layer, the middle layer, the upper layer, plus the arta. And the upper layer had two layers. There were 3/4 layers covering the Mishkan. It was pitch black dark inside. How did they maneuver? I think during the day. During the day, when the Kohen went there to clean up the Hatovas HaNeiros, to light the Ketores, it was pitch black dark. On Yom HaKippurim, when Aaron HaKohen went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was pitch black dark in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How did he see what he was doing? I don't know. It's a big mystery. There was spiritual light. In the Heichal, was the menorah still lit? The Ner Maravi was enough? Perhaps. Are you allowed to derive benefit from the Neros? Okay, now another question is...
They had a Noah from the Lechem Aponim, so why should it be different?
Oh, so maybe Enochinami? Maybe Enochinami, exactly the point, that this halach, the Yidnalel Inlanushis Lishtameshvam, is only Chanukah. But in the Beis HaMikdash, Adarabah, the purpose of the Neros was to provide illumination for that chamber. Now that illumination was only lit at night. What did they do during the day? So you'll say they kept the curtain open so the light can go, maybe. They opened up the curtain so enough daylight entered into the open curtain, very possibly. I don't know the answer. But the purpose of the menorah was to provide, l'chaira, to provide illumination inside. What?
It says, I'm opening menorah, but you should make a slant to show that it's not the light. Doesn't Rashi say that?
Rashi, that does Hashem, we don't do it to give a light to Hashem, right? Why does Hashem command us to light a menorah? Does Hashem need light? Hashem doesn't. Why do we light the menorah? There's a mitzvah hadlokas han menorah. Does Hashem need the light? Of course not. Hashem is the or shel olam. Hashem told us to do it for ourselves. Once already we're doing it though, are we allowed to derive benefit? Now, the proof is, the answer to l'chor is yes, because in shul we have by every or by the amud, the minhag Yisrael is to have neros. Okay, we have here a menorah. We have a menorah here. When do you turn on the menorah?
Davening.
Are you allowed to have hanah from the aura? Of course you are. You never heard someone say you can't have hanah from the menorah. Sometimes this is the only light in the shul. Of course you're allowed to. The menorah that is in the front of the amud is a zecher for the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Now that's why also you're not allowed to have seven branches. Because seven branches is an issur d'oraisa to make a replica of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, and the basic replica would be the same number of branches. So there always has to be less or more. Chanukah has an 8-branch menorah, and the most you can have on a menorah under the number of 8 is 6. And that's why in many shuls, there are 6 branches. Do they light all six branches? It all depends. Okay, I know Tarvadas, there's a meaning Tarvadas. I don't know, we spoke about this once, is that they generally light two. If you light three, it means there's no Tachnun. You only light three, you light three on a day when there's no Tachnun. There's no need to scream and fight. Just look at the Neros. If the Gabbai lit three Neros, there is no Tachnun. If he lit two Neros, there is Tachnun. When do they ever light five? They only light five. Do they have even the what do they have there? They have there.
No Tachnun by Shachris, but Tachnun by Mincha.
When do they light? They only light all the Neros, I think, on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, Mincha, you light all the Neros. How many Neros? I don't even remember how they have there. But that there is such a minute to do that. Two Neros is during the week, and three is when you don't say Tachnun. And on the Yom Tif, you light, I think they light, I don't know if they light six or five. I don't remember if they have even, I know, right, Konshul, they have there for a different reason. They have their Neris for the Neshama, the five different parts of the Neshama. Now, there's also a Minug, they light other Neros for their own Neshama. They light like Yahrzeit candles today. Today we light the Yahrzeit candles at home, but it definitely used to be that in previous generations the Yahrzeit candles were lit in shul, Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, and it was lit. The Neros were lit. Those Neros were not, I don't think, were used for the right benefit. Those Neros were used just as a zecher for a Neshama. So you have really in shul three types of Neros.
What counts? I don't know the way, but it's better to light your Yahrzeit candle in shul than at home.
Yom Kippur, because you know that's
because you're going to be there the whole day. You're going to be davening on Yom Kippur the entire day. On Yom Kippur, you're davening the entire day.
On a
regular Yahrzeit. All right, so some shuls do that. Yeah, you see some shuls. The Hasidim, they're much more into this. The Litvax, you don't see this, but the Litvax. The Shtibloch, they're very into this. They light, they have a special place to light Neros. And on a yard site, a big yard site, a big Rebbe, everyone lights Neros, and they put out, you know, it's more of a Hasidic thing. But the Litvax, they don't do this. On the other hand, Yom Kippur is different. Yom Kippur, some shuls, actually, they go, they put a table where people light. There's an Indian to light a called Ner Neshama, not a yard site candle. Light a neshama. Every male should light a candle. I know in Tarvadas have a big table, and everyone there lights a ner. They light the called a ner neshama, a ner neshama. It's a shulchan aruch. Okay, a lot of people, not everyone has this minug, but basically there are three different types of neros that are in shul. There is the ner tamid that represents the shechina, edo shah shechina shar b'Yisrael. It represents the ner maravi. And then there are the Neros in front of the Amud, which is used for illumination. The menorah, some have a real menorah, like over here. Here it's not straight, though. It's more of a designer menorah. It's not straight the way it was in the Mikdash. It's a zecher for the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Everything in the shul is a zecher. You have the Arna Kodesh, you have the Pareches, you have the Ner Maravi is on the ceiling. And here is the zecher for the menorah. And the Shulchan is the Mizbeach. All the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash are represented in the furniture of the Shul. Now, in the Mishkan, by the way, there were no windows. The Mishkan did not have any windows. The Beis HaMikdash did have windows. And the Gemara makes a point of telling you that the windows are the opposite type of windows that you have in a home. At home, the windows are constructed in such a way where it should maximize the intake of light. They're constructed at very thick walls in those days, and it was constructed in such a way where on the outside it should be very, very wide, and it should be concentrated towards the inside in a regular home, in order to bring into the home the most amount of light, to collect, to intensify the light. A technique, talk to a contractor or a scientist to explain to you how this works. I don't understand how this works, but there's a way to design a window in ancient times that can maximize the amount of intake that you can bring into a room. In the Beis HaMikdash, it says Shekufim, I forgot the words exactly, it was just Atumim, Shekufim Atumim, it was Shekufim Atumim, and the Gemara analyzed these words, they tell us it was just the opposite. They were designed in such a way to maximize the output in order to teach the world that the Beis HaMikdash is the source of light for the entire world. Halaydavar, in the Mishkan, where did they get this? This is, he analyzed the differences between the Mishkan and the Mikdash. The Osuli Mikdash, it says in this week's parasha, two things. He says, make a Mishkan and Mikdash. So most of the things are just, they're the same thing, but the size and the dimension and the layout is different. There was a Mizbeach and a Choshev in the Mishkan, and which turned into a big Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, 32 Amos. So almost everything you're going to find in the Mishkan, you're going to find in the Mikdash. Yet, there are certain things that only appear in the Mishkan, and do not appear in both ways. There are things that only appear in the Mikdash, and do not appear in the Mishkan. One example is windows. That's because in the Mishkan they were using OS. If anyone gets that joke, good for you. If you don't get that joke, OS.
Not Windows.
They were using Apple. Apple, the operating system of an Apple is OS, and IBM is, well, everything else is Windows. So in the Bayis Sheni, in the Bayis Rishon, they used Windows. In the Mishkan, they used OS. All right, sorry, you don't get it. There was no Windows in the Bayis Rishon and in the Bayis Sheni, in the Mishkan. There was no such thing. Pilei Ploim.
But they had Windows 12.
What?
They had Windows 12. Yeah, no Windows 12.
There was no Windows in the Mishkan. Haloi Dovar. It was a closed room. A closed room. The ceiling, it was shut. It was a closed room. There was no windows. The light of the menorah, how did it go and give light, shine the world? They were in the desert. They were in the desert. In the desert, it was concealed. The ore, there's a Musa Haskell in that. You got it. And what about the first 14 years in Gilgal? The first, we already were in Eretz Yisrael, during the Kibush and the Chiluk, no windows. What took place in Shiloh, no one knows. Shiloh is a big mystery, what it looked like. But there were no windows in the Mishkan. All of a sudden, when Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, innovation. Microsoft. Innovation. Shekufim Atumim. Windows. Windows. Windows going out to maximize the output. A new thing, and it's a tremendous chiddush. Now, going back to the Rambam, I want to suggest to you something very interesting. No one says this, is that the Rambam says all the Makoros that you need to have windows in the Beis HaKnesses are all in a bias. It says a bias, and the Rambam writes explicitly in the Teshuvah, the halach of having windows is only in a private bayis when you daven b'yachidos. But if you daven in a shul, no window, you don't need no windows. You don't need nothing. You don't need nothing. Completely sealed. Everyone here, I have a sefer, they all, they're so embarrassed of this Rambam. They're so embarrassed of this Teshuvah. Lavdavka, they go and they mamish, they cover up, they whitewash this Rambam's Teshuvah. Like it never existed. Of course, in a shul you have to have windows. 13 windows. You want to go put the stained glass window industry out of business? Of course you have to have windows in a shul. I don't think it's akasha. In a shul, you have neiros. You have neiros. It's another halacha. In a Beis HaKnesses, there are neiros. When you have neiros, you don't need chaloinos. In the bias, there's no din in the bias of having neiros. There's a din in the Beis HaKnesses of having neiros in the Beis HaKnesses. A lot of halachas about donating mishnoi sein shemen lama'or. The one who gives shemen lama'or in the Beis HaKnesses, a public place, it is a given and it's a zuchus and it represents the menorah and the Ner Maravi, all of the in a shul there are Nerois. That's why you don't need Chaloinois. But in a private bias where there is no din of Nerois, it's a private, it's not a shul. It's not a shul. There's no zecher in a private room for the Beis HaMikdash, where you have to have a mizbeach, a shulchan, and you have to have an oroin, and you have to have no such thing. You're davening privately in your home. You're davening in a cheder. So there's no tzura of a Beis HaKnesses. If there's no tzura of the Beis HaKnesses, there's no zecher for the menorah. There's no illumination. There are no neirois. So then you need to have a substitute of chaloinois windows. So I don't know why it's a shakasha. Enoch and Ami, the Gemara talks about chaloinois. Yeah, read the Gemara in the bias. You know why in the bias? Because in the bias there are no neiros. Who says there are neiros? And if there are neiros, the neiros are not. Who says they're adequate? But in the Beis HaKnesses, then there's many halachas that dwell upon the chashivos of having nerois in the Beis HaKnesses. Oh, there are nerois. So then you have the illumination. Who needs the chaloinois? Okay, in the Mishkan, what did they have inside the Mishkan? They had a menorah, and there were no chaloinois. Only a menorah. There were seven nerois, and there were no chaloinois in the Mishkan. Okay, you'll tell them all about the Bais Rishon, the Mikdash. There they taka had windows, and they had a menorah. Okay, so maybe in Achnami, maybe that's the Rambam is coming to build a Beis HaKnesses after the Mishkan, and maybe the later Achroin, and they're coming to pattern their the Mikdash Me'at after the Bais Rishon, which had both, had Chaloinois and had Nerois. All right, something to think about.
Can I say a window story first? No, take one. On my way to Eretz Yisrael with my mother, she told me a little story. When she was going to Auschwitz in the cattle car, there was no windows. There was a little crack. And her youngest sister, who was burning fever and not well, turned to her father and said, "I want to sit. I want to look out that, what you call, the window." And my mother said, "I also want." My grandfather said to my mother, "When you go to your shalom, you look out the window."
Wow.